are the glory and the garbage of the universe. That's a quote by the French scientist Blaise Pascal. Perhaps you could sense something French about that statement, I don't know. The glory is easy to see. We tell jokes, we write poems, we score goals, we make music, we make babies, we build skyscrapers, we cure diseases. But the garbage is easy to see too. We break promises. We tell lies. We murder, exploit, cheat, and abuse. With the same hands, we create wonder and we cause unimaginable pain. It's like there's a cocktail of glory and garbage shaken up together inside each one of us. So here's the question: why are we like this? The first book of the Bible, Genesis, helps us understand both the glory and the garbage. First, the glory. We're glorious because we've been made by a glorious God. The word good is used seven times in Genesis chapter 1. It's used to describe everything that the Maker makes, including you and me. This God and the world he creates is overwhelmingly good. At the end of the chapter, it says, God saw all that he had made and it was very good. A God who lacked generosity, who lacked kindness or creativity or beauty, could never create anything like the perfect universe we see here in Genesis chapter 1. God creates and sustains life. He puts the first human beings in charge of the rest of creation. He tells them to increase and be fruitful. He gifts them the world. It's an amazing thing. He's actually gifted us the world. But the word good is also used in the Bible when someone finds someone or something lovely. So when God looks at creation and especially at the human beings he's made, he says it's very good. He's saying he finds them lovely, captivating, beautiful. It's not a stretch to say that the relationship between God and humanity begins with love at first sight. God loves his creation, and here at the beginning he looks at it and those he's made, and he says, "You're glorious. I delight in you." One God, but with three distinct persons. As you read the Bible, these three persons are described as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they relate to each other in perfect, joyful love. This is what it means when the Bible says God is love. It's not just something God does, it's something God is. Before anything existed, he loved. And the really stunning thing is that he could have kept this perfect love and happiness to himself. Unlike you and me, unlike other gods, he didn't need anyone. He didn't need anything so he could love and be loved. He had that in himself, Father, Son, and Spirit. He didn't need to create anything. But he did because he wants to share the perfect love and happiness he has in himself. He wants to draw others into it. He wants us to have it too. And this is a truly amazing thing. And that's why he makes us in his image. You see that phrase in Genesis 1. Being made in God's image means that we're capable of knowing him, loving him, and enjoying him. Just think now of the best gift you've ever been given. Now, however good that gift was, hopefully you know it wasn't as amazing as the human being who gave it to you. In the same way, we may think that the greatest gift we have is our life. We might think the greatest gift we have is our family or sex or sport or beauty or friendship or health. Or achievement. But wonderful though these gifts are, they can never be as wonderful as the giver of those gifts or the maker of those gifts. And that's why the very greatest pleasure in life isn't enjoying the gifts God has given, wonderful though they are. The greatest pleasure the universe has to offer is enjoying the giver of those gifts, God himself. What I mean by enjoying God is enjoying his presence, his personality, his perfections, savouring him, treasuring him, reveling in him, just enjoying who he is, the way that you might enjoy getting to know the very best friend you have. Except, of course, the pleasure of enjoying God himself is infinitely greater than that, infinitely greater than the best human relationships. Now, maybe this sounds foreign to you. I grew up in the church as a boy, and I knew these things in theory, but not much in practice. I heard people talking about God in sermons or praying about God in prayers, but I was frequently left feeling bored. In fact, I remember a bit of a sad habit some of us young people had in church was when one of the church elders got up to pray, this particular elder, a very godly man, but he prayed very long prayers. And when he got up to pray, some of us used to set our watches to see if he would beat his personal best. And you could actually hear the digital stopwatches beeping in anticipation. But enjoying God is the reality that's held out to us in the Bible. Your purpose in life as a human being made in God's image is to share in God's perfect happiness. There's no happiness on earth that comes close. The greatest gift God can give you is himself. Being made in God's image also means that we're literally to image God, that is, to reflect God. One of the wonderful artistic works we have access to here in Melbourne is the ceiling of the Great Hall in the National Gallery of Victoria. And this was created by the artist Leonard French, and it's actually the largest stained glass ceiling in the world. Though if you appreciate it for too long, by standing and craning your head back, it will quite literally give you a pain in the neck. A couple of months ago, the National Gallery held a fundraiser in which different creative teams designed tables for the Great Hall. And one table featured a mirrored chandelier, and so that guests could sit around the table, enjoying each other's company, and through the reflection of the mirrors in the chandelier feature, also enjoy the spectacular stained glass ceiling. The mirrors reflected the beauty of the artwork above. And in the same way, like mirrors, you and I were made to reflect God's goodness, his beauty, and so the whole world can see it and share in that happiness too. And the best thing is, because he's a joyful God, we reflect him best when we enjoy him most. God wants us to enjoy him. Now, this was a revelation to me as I grew out of boyhood into young adulthood, as I matured in my faith. I'd always assumed God wanted me to sing hymns I didn't enjoy, in buildings I didn't like, wearing clothes I couldn't stand. And when I'd read the book of Revelation about how the saints are standing around the throne of God singing praises for eternity, I thought, well, that might be okay for the first couple of years of eternity. Surely it would get pretty old pretty soon, especially if there were organs. But God wants us to be happy in him so that we reflect out to the world that he is our greatest joy in life, whatever our circumstances. And by the way, Genesis 1 makes clear when the only part of the universe that God has created in his image. That means we have a unique privilege, another sign of God's incredible goodness towards us. So we're the glory of the universe. But sadly, as Pascal said, we're also the garbage. Imagine you've finished your day at the National Gallery. You walk out with your friends and someone says, "That was fantastic." And someone else says, "Yeah, those mirrors, they were amazing. They were brilliant, absolutely fantastic." And you say, "Well, yeah, the mirrors were good, but they were really good because they reflected something. They reflected the ceiling." The whole point of the mirrors, the reason they're there, is not to draw attention to themselves, but to reflect the beauty above. And our purpose is the same. It's to enjoy God, reflecting Him as we do that. But if we're honest, we know we're not like that. One of the church fathers, Augustine, he wrote that we're curved in on ourselves. We're like mirrors that are supposed to be pointed upwards and outwards, but instead we're bent downwards and inwards. A bit like those funny mirrors you see at places like the pancake parlour. You can stand in them while you're waiting in the queue to pay your bill and you look really short, really tall, and there's a distortion. The reflection is distorted. And rather than enjoying and reflecting our Creator, we enjoy and reflect created things more. And to put it another way, you and I have other gods that we reflect. You might say, "Well, I don't believe in God." But the Bible says actually all of us worship something or someone. Whatever your heart clings to and relies upon, that is your functional God. As mirrors, we can't reflect nothing. We'll always reflect something, whatever that may be. And we'll reflect whatever we love, whatever we trust, whatever we enjoy most, whatever our hearts cling to and rely on for our security. And the reason why the world we live in now is not the world of Genesis 1. The reason there's garbage as well as glory is because our hearts cling to and rely upon created things rather than our Creator. And when we live like that, it ruins everything. American novelist David Foster Wallace achieved international fame for his novel Infinite Jest. It's been judged as one of the great English novels of the last century. Reflecting on life, he said the following: "Everybody worships. The only choice we get is what to worship. And the compelling reason for maybe choosing some sort of God or spiritual type thing to worship is that pretty much anything else you worship will eat you alive. If you worship money and things, if they are where you tap real meaning in life, then you'll never have enough. You'll never feel you have enough. Worship your body and beauty and sexual allure, and you will always feel ugly. And when time and age start showing," insert whether now or through a Russian face app that you may have used throughout the week, "you will die a million deaths before they finally grieve you." I think I died a million deaths when I saw what I'm supposedly going to look like in 40 years' time. And then a million more when I realised the Russians have all my data. Anyway. "Worship power and you'll end up feeling weak and afraid, and you'll need ever more power over others to numb you to your own fear. Worship your intellect, being seen as smart, and you'll end up feeling stupid, a fraud, always on the verge of being found out. But the insidious thing about these forms of worship is they're unconscious. They are default settings." See, it's just not what you and I were made for. It's like taking a priceless violin and using it to hammer in tent pegs. You should use violas for that. Anyway, sorry. Sorry, I'm a jaded musician. Now, that's a tragic use of a violin and a very poor way to put up a tent. So you and I weren't meant to revel in our own glory. We're meant to enjoy an infinitely greater one. We're meant to enjoy and appreciate and savour and participate and reflect the infinite goodness and happiness of God Himself. We are far too easily pleased. Why put up with our tiny drops of happiness when we're made to experience whole oceans of it? Blaise Pascal said, "Everyone seeks happiness without exception." And the question for us this morning is, are we searching for it in the right place?